And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
At DFF underscore Madman and Shane Manila.
Hello, lover.
What's really funny is people didn't see it, but right as I introduced Shane, he muted it and he had to yell something at his kids, I guess.
Yes, because you know how my kids do. Oh, daddy's taping podcast. That means we need to scream at each other from 2 feet away.
Right. The funniest part of it too, Jeremy, is I keep looking at Shane and he keeps stroking his face where his beard used to be, but Shane shaved his face and there's nothing there.
It's a habit, man. You gotta
do it. I'm trying to rub it back so it'll like pull out of my face and grow again because I look like I'm roughly 12 years old.
Yes. It is kind of funny. That happens sometimes when people shave. So we've got a great show for you tonight. We have the ladies from Ball Blast Podcast on tonight, correct, Jeremy?
That's right. That is right. Yes, sir.
They are ball blasters.
Yes, Michelle and Kate, so they'll be here in a little bit, but before we get to that, we're going to go over some of our news and notes here brought to you by rotosurance.com. Go over there and put in Dynasty Trades HQ, all in caps, and get your discount.
Heck yeah, do that before Dalvin Cook injures himself or Darius Geis for, you know, 9-10 games and, you know, cash in that premium if that happens. Do it. You know it's going to happen to one of your key pieces. It does to me every year.
Happens to everyone. That's why Roto Insurance is a thing. Yep.
So the first news here we got is about Shane's team, the Eagles, and their tight ends.
Yeah, so according to, what do you call that place? Roto World, and that's where I got all these blurbs because, frankly, I'm too lazy to look on many sites.
Oh, Roto World's great news for news.
Yeah, and they kind of aggregate, like, you know, just stories from every team. So Dallas Goedert apparently is having a phenomenal, his development has been phenomenal, according to Jordan Peele. The tight end coach for the
Jordan Peele.
Yeah. So not only is he a comedian and has basically rejuvenated the horror industry, he's also a tight end coach for the Philadelphia Eagles, which is really cool.
Except like his name is Justin, though, not Jordan. So,
oh, I'm sorry. Justin. Yeah, that's Justin, not Jordan. So that does change it a little more. Okay. But yeah, so Dallas Goedert having his development has been phenomenal. So I'm just wondering, where do you guys rank Dallas Goedert? Because I know going into last year, we all convinced ourselves that Zach Ertz would be moving on, say, after the 2019 or 2020 season. But after the Eagles restructured his contract, they're tied into him through 2021, unless they want to eat $12 million cap hits.
Dude, Ertz has been so good that you, if you're the Eagles, you do not want to lose him. So that makes sense. And for Ertz too, because this is a team on the rise. They've been good. They're poised to, you know, make it to another Super Bowl. I think Ertz is one of the best tight ends in real football and, of course, in fantasy. I don't know how much Goedert would affect Ertz. You know, I'm assuming, based on some of the other changes with that offense, that Ertz is still going to get a ton of love from, you know, Wentz this year, especially in the PPR game. I don't think he's going to drop off much from his PPR scoring last year. But, you know, Goedert's going to cut into that a little bit, depending on how much he's on the field. And you know the Eagles better than I do. I think this, I mean, it's good for Goedert, but I am still not changing my stance on Ertz, more importantly, like where I'm drafting him, where he's ranked. I don't think that is affected at all. He's been consistently good. He's not an old player, but I think this means that Goedert's probably going to be more involved in the offense this year, right? So maybe that affects guys like Aguilar, or, you know, maybe the slot position a little bit. I don't really know, but it does not affect my take on Ertz for this season.
Yeah, word is that they're going to run a lot more 12 personnel because when you have weapons like Ertz and Goddard.
Two tight end, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it could be some light version of Gronk, Aaron Hernandez during Aaron Hernandez's murdering ways.
Yeah, but during his murder.
We just didn't know that's what he was doing.
We didn't know about it. But
in the H-back position, I mean, that's, and Hernandez used to get a lot of love. I mean, at one point before Gronk really grew into prominence and became Gronk, you know, Gronk Smash when he was just Rob Gronkowski, Hernandez was the guy that people were trying to get, and that position is what Belichick's, you know, used, that H-back position, and things, you know, shifted for them. And they went with a more inline tight end and Gronk, and that worked out. But, you know, maybe the Eagles do something like that, with Godert in the H-back role. That would be amazing if they did.
I mean, maybe not the H-back role, because I don't know if he can do that, but more just the receiving threats on the team, because that was so fun watching Hernandez and Gronk when they had them there. I don't see, you know, Godert or Ertz taking any, like, you know, carries for touchdowns like Hernandez did at one time or another. He was just insanely versatile.
Freaky
and insane.
And insane.
No, not to make fun of the guy.
And literally insane.
Yeah, literally. I mean, they checked his brain after he died, and he had the mind of like a 70-year-old.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he did.
I know.
But anyway, just going back to Goddard, I think I still have him ranked in my top 12.
Goddard?
Because, you know, Alshon's gone after this year. Nelson Aguilar is gone after this year. And then you just have JJ to take Alshon's place. You got Deshaun, who's more of a big threat play, and then those two tight ends and Miles Sanders. Like, that offense could be different and unique, but, you know, since Peterson's been there, man, they've loved building their offense through the inside out, and I think he could still see a ton of targets. So
I mean, tight end too, for sure, top 24. I mean, I think he did that last year. He's definitely going to be not fall out of tight end 24 position. So if you think he's going to get close to that tight end one spot, that'd be great. I mean, I'm not going to put that kind of faith in it, like in a startup, unless, you know, he falls. But wow,
that's the thing. Anticipation. His price point, you're not going to have to draft him like a low tight end one even. You can get him late in drafts, 10th, 11th round. So he's still a guy that I'll still take a shot on. And, you know, it's dynasty, so we do forget. But in 3 years when Ertz is gone, Goddard will still be there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's something we can ask Kate and Michelle about, because on their last show, they actually had Zach Ertz as one of their tight ends that is dropping in their rankings. So we'll see what they have to say about that. You know, the other one we have here is about Albert Breer's talking about Christian Kirk has been the best receiver on their roster in the offseason program.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, and I forget what podcast it was, but someone brought up the point, like, how do we know that Chris Kingsbury even likes Christian Kirk? Because if you look what he did, he went out and drafted every receiver he could find, including Andy Isabella, who would best served playing that Kirk role, who happens to be a little faster than Kirk, although Kirk's more of a bulldog once he gets that ball in his hands.
Exactly.
So I just, not that there's a lot of concern there. It's not like I invested a ton in Kirk, but that is something to watch if Isabella is going to be on the outside.
That speed could put him on the outside easily. I mean, he has the speed to play out there. I don't know if that's going to mean he gets a ton of receptions, but he can get off the line. So, like, if he's able to get down the field for them at that track speed, you know, superstar speed he's got, that helps that team immensely. I mean, sure, he's going to catch some too, but just to stretch the defense, spread the defense out and open up the lanes for Kirk. I'm not a big Christian Kirk fan. I don't think he's ever going to be more than like the 24th best wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, that's just my opinion. So that guy usually goes higher than I'm comfortable drafting him. Would I want him on my team? Yeah. I just, off-season stuff, man, I have trouble buying into it. I've been burned by that too many times before.
No, Fitzgerald would just hurry up and retire.
make the situation less murky. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, at least get rid of one of the three guys that are best out of the slot.
Well, you would assume that would happen this year. How would you guys rank the rest of the wide receivers on there? Like you said, they drafted two new guys and Kirk, and how would you rank those guys?
So in Dynasty, I think I'm still going Kirk, then Isabella, then Butler, and then Fitz. And only because Fitz is only that low because I don't know. In theory, he should retire at some point, right?
Yes.
You think?
I mean, he's another guy that, like, for it feels like at least 3 years we've been talking about, well, this is the year that he probably, you know, finally hangs him up. And I mean, the guy was a top 24 wide receiver the year before last when he wasn't injured.
Yeah, and you got to imagine that he can't go much longer than that. But, you know, on teams like we've talked about before, if you're a contender, you're going to win now, you need a guy to put a body in your roster, you want to have him on there. But in drafts, I mean, obviously, he's drafted way low.
Yeah, I traded 2019 seconds for him in a couple leagues just, you know, to give me that guy that I think could help me win this year.
Yeah, because especially in a lot of these leagues we have, you could start up to like six wide receivers and stuff. So you need bodies to put out there, and you don't want to just put a body out there that's just out there. I mean, if he's getting you points, you want to stick him out on your roster.
Hakeem Butler, we laughed at ourselves for drafting him before the NFL draft, and then he basically the NFL seemed to have given up on him. He dropped so far. You know, the DFB Invitational, we cracked at ourselves and we never wanted to talk about it again. But now King Butler's become a value. Like, I actually took him in a rookie draft because he fell so far, and I'm looking at I'm like, you know what? To me, it's worth it to take a shot on Hakeem Butler now at this point, because I mean, I think at some point, you know, he's developmental, receiver, you know, routes and all that, but I mean, he's a freaky athlete, and it's possible he still becomes a very valuable fantasy asset. I mean, who's going to stop him? He's got everything else, except for, you know, the disappointment apparently people have in his one season of success or whatever. I think I got a steal on him. I wish we'd done that in that league we drafted in together, but you know,
yeah, I got him in the fourth round in my last rookie draft that I did, and I was fine with that too. So listen, it looks like Kate and Michelle are ready to go. So why don't we get them in here? But let's first hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
All right, so Scouting Academy. So if you want to start looking at that 2020 class or that 2021 class, because I know I've made some trades for 2021 picks because I'm future thinking or forward thinking or something like that. But so
something like that.
Hit up the Scouting Academy. It's on our site. Save yourself $50.
Okay,
then
great.
Michael, we have guests.
I know, but I thought Jeremy kept talking over it. I thought he was going to mention something else about Scouting Academy. Yes, our guests are both here. We have Michelle and Kate here from the Ball Blast podcast. Welcome, guys.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. We were getting ready to bring you on, and then Shane pulls up your guys' rankings, and he starts going
in.
Yeah,
he's not a big fan.
And I told him, stop talking. Let's go right into the show.
Carson Wentz ranked too low or something. Well, Shane's easy.
Okay, well, let's say this. It's Michelle has fan. Carson Wentz at 19.
Oh, I knew you were going
to
do it.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? I like her so much. That's I think that's appropriately placed right there myself.
Well, then you're both bad at ranking, and I've never seen your rankings, and I want nothing to do with you. So let me just ask without yelling, why is Carson Wentz the 19th quarterback for you?
I think it has more to do with all the guys in front of him. I just like a lot of quarterbacks next year. Dude can't stay healthy. I did try to set him out for a full 16 games. It's hard. But he wasn't very good last year when he was playing. I mean, let's be honest.
He was also injured. Let's be fair.
Okay, he was banged up, but
real quick, he was he was.
You definitely hit a home run with this, because this is Shane's wheelhouse. This right here with the Carson Wentz.
On the whole, he hadn't played well, and I think a lot of people buy into that narrative. He was 0.4 of a point per game outside of being a quarterback 12, which would be a QB 1.
Were you happy when you were playing Carson Wentz?
Not when he wasn't playing.
No, when he was playing, were you happy? Because he didn't help anybody win a game. That's for sure.
He helped me win games.
Oh, I don't think so.
He took me.
I want you on every week.
I was going to say, these are my favorite guests ever.
Seriously, I love it.
No one invited you guys. Just shh.
That's ball blast for a reason.
I think the biggest thing why Carson Wentz was, you know, loved, he was at that 7.5 touchdown percentage in 2017, mm-hmm. which was insane, and that's not attainable. So I think 5.2 is very reasonable. That's where he was last year. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have him at. I'm not being mean to him.
I care if you're mean to him. I don't care about him as a human being. I mean,
I have him at
no feeling.
I have him only at 545 attempts, so he's a little bit lower there. I think they'll try to run the ball a bit more. Hopefully their defense can be strong. So I have him at 545. 65% completion percentage, that's fair, and 5.2 touchdown percentage. And then him throwing some interceptions, you know? He does that sometimes.
He does do that, but he's actually only the sixth quarterback in history to go 20 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions two seasons in a row.
we're in the DFB Invitational League with people like Matthew Berry and Scott Barrett, and we drafted a couple months ago, and we still haven't heard it from Shane that we didn't draft Carson Wentz when he wanted to in the second round, I think it was.
We did get Deshaun Watson. We did get Jared Goff.
All you need is Watson, and you're fine.
Yeah, I like Watson at one, so you guys are not in sync there. But you're close. So, Michelle, you've got Watson at one.
I do.
All right. Any particular reason? Is it just the whole Nook, Kuki, Fuller, triumphant?
I think it took him a while to get going last year. You know, he was returning from the ACL tear, and then as soon as he got going, he broke his ribs and had a collapsed lung, which is pretty insane, and he was still killing it. You saw his rushing yards go way up at the second half of the season. I think that has something to do with him feeling a little bit more comfortable with that ACL. They at least did something to help the line. I mean, not that much, but I don't think he'll be sacked 62 times again. Add in Will Fuller and Kiki Kuti, and I know DeAndre Hopkins was a little banged up there at the end of the year. I mean, he was a quarterback four last year, and all of that was against him. I see no reason why he can't be the quarterback one.
I like that. That's actually really good logic. And apparently he can play hurt. I don't know if Carson Wentz is able to, but kidding, Shane.
We're just going to beat him.
Poor Shane.
Well, I mean, yeah, a fractured rib is a little different than a broken wrist and a torn LCL and ACL. But anyway, we're going to move past that. Andrew Luck, which I think is pretty bold. I like it. And it dawned on me because I'm looking at both of them and I'm not that good with numbers, but neither of you have Patrick Mahomes first. Now, these rankings came out before any updates on Tyreek Hill. If Tyreek Hill comes back, does that move your rankings on Patrick Mahomes, Kate? Would he move up to one?
I statted Patrick Mahomes out, or Tyreek Hill out for 8 games. Okay. I see no reason why the NFL, even just to save face, would not suspend him for 8 games.
Right.
I cannot envision a world where anybody, aside from maybe Kansas City Chiefs fans and Tyreek Hill owners and dynasty, are going to be rooting for less than that. I mean, you saw a Zeke suspension with much less evidence stacked against him. Mm-hmm. I can't see it. I can't see a world where he plays more than 8 games. So between just the natural regression, I think, you know, his touchdown rate was unrepeatable. I'm sorry. I'll believe it when I see it. I know he's going to be this generational talent. I don't think I'm going to believe it until I actually see it, though. I do think his yards per completion are going to go down. He's made some comments in the offseason that he needs to maybe make those big throws a little less often and sometimes just take those short yardage chunk plays, which I think those might bring down his yards per completion just a little bit. I have him statted out for a really good season, but Andrew Luck, I just think he's got so many pass catching weapons. He's got one of the best groups of tight ends in the entire NFL. He's got Nyheim Hines, who's just like the most badass undercover PPR machine that nobody talks about whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, what you're saying, Andrew Luck is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So him being one of the best in fantasy football, it's not, you know, that's definitely not a reach at all. And I get with Patrick Mahomes in Dynasty. I think that you could rank him anywhere in the top three and probably be right just because of how young he is and how good he is already. Up there, certainly, with Andrew Luck. But I mean, I commend you guys for, I don't put my rankings on Twitter for a reason, because I don't want everybody coming at me and arguing with me and generating dialogue and having,
like,
you know,
they do with us.
Yeah, exactly. And like, but it's brave. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, we kind of did this whole thing backwards. We kind of jumped right into your guys' rankings without even
fired by your rankings.
But we didn't even introduce them or anything. So,
we didn't introduce them yet?
No. You just went right into attacking Michelle because of Carson Wentz. So.
Wow, what the f*** is wrong with me? I didn't introduce them.
I'm all for being attacked. I like it. I like to be.
So actually, why don't we go back to that? And why don't you guys tell everybody a little bit about yourself and also what these rankings actually are?
Absolutely. So I'm Kate. You can find me on Twitter at FFBallBlast. This is Michelle.
Yeah, you can find me at BallBlast. BallBlast EM.
EM. We are two girls living in the city of Pittsburgh. Go Steelers. we are also Brown sympathizers, although I don't think we'll have to sympathize much longer. We have real jobs. We are real people. I'm a nurse, and Michelle is a recruiter.
For nurses.
She didn't recruit me.
How did you feel about that? It was like, did you feel bad that she didn't want you? Or
she got the job first, actually. We work for the same hospital system here in Pittsburgh.
But now, at least I understand.
We love football. So we were at a bar one day, and we were like, what if we started a podcast? And then drunkenly got on Amazon, and man, anybody can start a podcast. Awesome.
It's true. Look yes. at us. It's true.
Well, here's the thing, and I think Tim Torch told us this that one time he was on for one of our anniversaries, 100th episode. Oh, wait, we haven't hit that yet.
No, but Tim kept thinking it was our
100th.
Yeah, but Tim kept thinking it was our 100th, so he kept congratulating us for 100.
Yeah, anyone can start a podcast, but actually being successful at it and keeping up with it is the challenge. Because if you look through some of the just go on iTunes or whatever, or the Google Pod app, and look for, you know, fantasy football podcast, and you'll just see like a it looks like dead ones. There's just every fifth one's dead. Yeah, you're like, oh, I remember this show. Oh, I remember this show.
I like.
So
what
sorry,
you said,
I didn't mean
about,
to cut you off.
About being in a bar and considering that, because some of my best thoughts have been in a bar or drinking or whatever, also in the bathroom. But let's not get into that. But I mean, some of my best ideas and Scott Barrett, a buddy of ours, he said, and this goes back a long ways, but he was talking to his friends in a bar before he got into fantasy football. I think he was working on Wall Street or something in the stock market anyway. And they're all drunk and drinking. He's like, dude, fantasy, bro. And he was like talking about how he'd be successful at it. And it turns out he was. So, I mean, like, stranger things have definitely happened. And I think that's great that you guys had that kind of an epiphany at that point.
Yeah. And I think my biggest thing was that we have a good little following on Twitter, and I want to put my information out there, but I'm not the best writer, and I just don't enjoy writing. Like, I can do it.
No.
I don't enjoy it, and I have to put in way too much effort for it. So if I can just speak it, it's so much easier.
Michelle loves to talk.
Yeah, I like to talk a little too much.
That was the same thing I pitched when MG hired me over here at DFF. I was like, I can't write, but I can talk. Put a microphone in front of me, and I'll just talk. So
it's the direction things are going, too. I mean, video, audio, that's what people want. It's good.
I don't put articles that much these days. Honestly.
Yeah.
So you guys basically are the podcast. You don't have a website or anything, or you just mostly do the podcast?
You know, we don't even really have a website. No, we're just the Ball Blast podcast, just putting out episodes each week. We drop them on Mondays. I think we just dropped our 12th episode. People seem to be liking us, and we're really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool. And that's kind of why I brought it up, because like Jeremy was saying, how brave you were to put your rankings up on Twitter. If you don't have the podcast, I mean, if you don't have the website and you only have the podcast, and you guys were going to talk about your rankings for the last 3 weeks on the show, you had to put something out there for people to see. So I know you guys spent the last three episodes going over your rankings. And so are these mostly, it says on Twitter that they're redraft, but do you have a big difference with Dynasty, or is it mostly redraft that you guys talk about?
We were doing a little bit of Dynasty talk there for a little bit for the months of, what was it, March and April and a little bit of May. We did put up those rankings earlier. They weren't as serious as these ones. We definitely are going to think of ourselves as a redraft podcast for the most part, but we'll hit on Dynasty and little parts of the off season.
So you were joking around, right? You're not really getting death threats about your rankings.
No, we're not.
No. They're just getting called to get some, back in the. Yeah, they're getting called.
We've gotten some very bad words sent to us.
I've seen some of the backlash out there. I'm not surprised by it. We see it all the time. You know, people hiding behind their pseudonyms and, you know, whatever, just talking. Talking to people, basically, they probably don't have friends, but, you know, definitely let that fall by the wayside.
Anyone who talks bad, it's never a picture of them, you know?
It's never a real person.
An anonymous photo or some logo or
they're
something.
They're too scared, yeah, is what it is.
Well, they know what they're saying is fucked up and they don't want their face associated with that. And it's like this, if you know you're a fucking tool, you know you're an idiot and you're going to say tool-like or idiot-like things, why would you put your picture out there? You just know you're going to burn yourself.
Well, that whole hiding behind anonymity is just ridiculous. Like, I just ignore it most of the time. And I don't get a ton of that, and it's different, but I'm just saying I tend to find like if I ignore it or smile and say something nice, it just go away. It's like I do with my kids if they're trying to nag me or something. I'm just like, I've come up with, you know, ways to deal with it so I don't, you know, it doesn't make my day inefficient or something.
Well, I think see, girls, I'm more like ladies. I'm more like you.
Wait. You're more like a lady. Hold on. Yes. Let's back up. You're confusing me.
So I engage the trolls.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Well, one, I'm smarter than them. Two, I'm better looking than them. Three, they wouldn't say these things to my face because I would fucking maul their face off.
Whoa, God.
So, like, I don't.
Are you the one sending death threats?
No. I'm always. See, that's funny though, because I'm always peaceful on Twitter. Like, I say things like, "Hey, I hope you get some mental help," things like that. Like, they're obvious that you.
Oh, truly, some of them need it. It's clear.
Yeah. But no one's ever told me to get back in the kitchen.
I got so many gifts of like women doing dishes and
do you really?
Various other chores. Vacuuming.
Yeah, you need to embrace it though, not like me ignoring it. I think in your case, embrace it. And the way that you have responded so far and dealt with it has been super mature and just, I think, the right way, because a lot of these topics that we deal with now, things get negative. And I feel like if you can spin that positive, it makes things totally more attractive, like more appealing. Like when someone is able to spin something turn it into a positive and turn that frown upside down kind of thing, people like react and respond to that positively too. And so I think the way that you guys have handled things has been like A+. I mean, I commend you for doing that. It's tough. I wouldn't want to be in that position. I try to avoid that stuff.
I will say, like, we do know that I think part of our niche is the fact that we are two women talking about football. Like, that's not something that's super normal. You don't see that every day. I've combed through plenty of podcasts. There's lots of, like, talented female analysts, and there's just not a ton of podcasts that are actually just two women dialoguing about football.
It's unique. It's good. It's a great idea, and it works.
It's very silly, though, that it's a problem, that some people have a problem with it. They won't even listen to what you're saying. They'll just have a problem because you're women. The thing that's interesting to me, you guys say that you're nurses and that and your recruiter.
Are you accusing them of not being nurses?
No. What I was saying is listening.
Yeah, you're saying you're nurses.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is.
Lucky for you, you can find all credentialing information through the Pennsylvania Board of Nursing website.
That's true. I'll ask my wife to check that out. I'll be like, look for Michelle Ball Blast.
What I was trying to say, is that listening to your podcast and listening to your analysis of the players, you sound as though you work for the NFL or something. You know, there's so many people that do these podcasts and do these shows that really just don't know what they're talking about. They're just talking, you know, they're just saying their opinions. And a lot of times there's no fact behind it or anything. And even your guys' rankings, you guys put together your rankings based on your projections of points and yards and touchdowns, and you really put a lot of thought into it as opposed to some people that just throw together a list.
Oh, yeah. We worked on them for, like, what, 2 months? Yeah. I mean, when you do have real jobs, so, like, you have to work on them at night and on the weekends. But we do put a lot of work into our podcast. We never want to get on there unprepared. So we prepare our work and make sure we know what we're talking about with a lot of facts to back it up. Because why is anyone going to trust us if we're just saying, oh, we like this player, but we're not giving reasons why?
It's not to say that some players don't give you the tinglies, like
Rashad Penny.
Right, Curtis Samuel. I had the Curtis Samuel tingles last year, and I tweeted it out, and I'm like, I think I just have to pin that tweet so that everybody can see, like, I was.
You did
original.
It on the perfect week. You did.
I did. Yeah.
I still have the Curtis Samuel tingles. Are you kidding?
Oh, me too.
That's a great ball. That guy's awesome.
Such a value.
He is, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for sure. I mean, I've never overpaid for that guy, and that's what we do on this show. Well, I mean, Shane, you do too, right? No, I'm just kidding. Like we go for values. You know, it's not just trading. I mean, all year long we're just searching for values, and that kind of stuff fluctuates. I mean, it trends up and down, and it's just so much fun because it seems like, hey, you're doing a podcast about dynasty trades. Wow, that's really specific.
Yeah. Like,
but all year we have stuff to talk about because it is a dynamic market, and there's always something happening up and down. And it's been a ton of fun the past couple of years doing this. I mean, it's just been a blast. Oh, sorry. I just plugged your show. I didn't even
was
try
it
to
a ball
that.
Blast?
It was.
Title come from? Like, I need to ask that.
So it came sort of up, like, conversationally, like, blast your league mates out of the water and then sort of blasting balls, because this is, let's be honest, a male-dominated industry. Everybody blasts your league mates' balls. Like, that's sort of the point. Is there anything more fun than trash-talking with your league mates and blasting their balls? No. But you want to make sure you have the appropriate content to back that up.
Yeah.
Did you guys, and I'm sorry if I missed it, but did you tweet out your projections already?
So those are our projection ordered, like, rankings. We're not going to actually put – I'm not brave enough to actually put out there the yardage and the passing touchdowns percentage. So we're not going to give all those goods away, at least not for free anyways, but –
Right.
We're not going to sell either, but I'm just going to – I did my projections, and I'm putting out there how they landed after that. But I think that's where we'll leave it for now.
I'll say your quarterback rankings, and we can move on after this. But I actually looked at your list. I don't see much anything really wrong with your quarterback rankings. I think it's funny that, you know, the quarterback we were talking about before, at – 10, I think it is. I don't see anything wrong with it. The thing is, you might be more right than everybody else because there's so many fluctuations. But I like how you have the rationale behind this. Like you said, anybody can talk. Well, for instance, I have a friend who I just told him for the first time that I don't talk to him a lot. He came into town for a wedding. And I was like, hey, here's a hat. I've been on this podcast for a couple years. And we started out in fantasy football together. And it was kind of, he was taken aback. He's like, really? He goes, man, you want to ever have anybody on there sometime on your show that actually knows how to do this stuff? Because I guess he thinks because he's beaten me in half of the championship games for our home league title over these years, and maybe his winning record is a little bit better, that he should take my place on this podcast because he's so good. And I mean, there's just so much more to this stuff than just, you know, one thing. I mean, yeah, winning does count and matter and being right, but, you know, there's so many other facets of being right and doing well at this that it takes more than just, you know, beating me in our home league to do it.
It's totally a process, and you have to, I think, refine your process and sort of approach things on a step-by-step basis.
And let's all admit, it's at least 30% luck.
I was just going to say, it's funny when people believe that they are experts and that they know what's going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of ideas that you can have based on, you know, history and what you think might happen, but we don't really know exactly what's going to happen, no matter what. How long have you guys been playing fantasy?
Oh, I've been playing. So I'm 27. I've been playing since I've been like 8. My dad got me into it. He used to have his little binder with his sheets printed out, and we'd write in our rosters. Yeah, we started as, like, my dad just started a little family one because he was really into fantasy football. So he wanted to start a family. I have three other siblings. So it was literally like a six-team league. So all of our rosters were stacked. But we would draft every week. Every Sunday we'd wake up and do a new draft each week. It was so much fun. But that's how I started it. And then I started to get into leagues when I was a teenager. So I've been playing forever. Yeah.
I actually did not start playing fantasy football. I did not watch football until I met Michelle, which years ago.
5 years
ago. And I delved so, like, she cracked this little, like, thing in my brain. And once that happened, I was completely obsessed. And I watched all the films that I could. Like,
She's a researcher.
I'm a researcher. Like, I'm super obsessive. Actually, so once I lock my brain onto something, I just clench onto it for dear life.
And so, what's super annoying is that she's better than me at it, and I'm the one that got her into it, so she's kicking butt.
Yeah, this sport is great for this hobby is great if you have a little bit of OCD and you want to organize stuff, because there's literally no end to, like, shuffling the rankings and doing things. There's always some. I mean, it's perfect for keeping you busy if you need that. It's awesome.
All right, ladies, can I ask you? What?
Shane has a lot of questions. I know.
I was going to have them.
So important right now.
I was going to have you guys talk about your tight ends, because in the opening.
That's where I was going. Yeah, because. I was looking at OJ Howard.
Well, that and also the Zach Ertz stuff you were talking about at the beginning of the show. But go ahead, ask them your question about OJ Howard.
No, let's start with Zach Ertz, because I am, like, ready for Zach Ertz.
See, I told you, Shane. All right, go ahead. Why don't you tell
Zach Ertz? I don't even see him.
Before, what do you mean you don't see? He's not even that far down. Let's not be too dramatic.
30?
No, I know. But before you guys came on, he had did a little news story about Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz.
I mean, 3 and 5 is fine. I mean, I don't think there's any – that's not really out of this world, especially on Michelle. She's got Ingram – and Howard ahead of him, which I can see both of those guys passing him this year, because I love O.J. Howard. I think he averaged 16 yards a catch last year, something like that. And he's going to be in an offense that's just going to be lighting it up. So I'm not too – and Ingram, we saw what he can do without Odell. So that's good with that. I was just more curious about the O.J. Howard thing, though, because they have him ranked very high, and he's a guy I actually love as well.
I think that the biggest argument here, and I do love pretty much every pass catcher in Tampa Bay, which is, like, I'm getting palpitations with how high I've ranked all these guys. Bruce Arians, you cannot ignore the opportunity that's going to be in the passing game. OJ Howard has been this consistent pass catcher as a rookie, came up with 39 receptions. Again, average 16.6 yards per reception. Repeated that exact line, 16.6 yards per reception, 5 touchdowns. He hasn't even been healthy. He's able to produce like that. And Jameis Winston has a rapport with him. Cameron Brate, we've seen the best of him, and I think we saw that, you know, even when OJ Howard was out last season, his role didn't change. He was that guy in the end zone who sort of stood there and was bigger than, you know, someone covering him, and the mismatch was there and he caught a ball. Like, that was sort of his role, like 20 yards and maybe a touchdown. But OJ Howard's clearly the pass catching tight end, and I think the target share is going to be there in a Bruce Arians offense. I probably don't have Jameis Winston ranked higher enough. I have him projected for 550 passing attempts. I probably don't have him ranked high enough with how high I have all these Tampa Bay receiving options.
Well, if you figure that there's going to be some interceptions in there, that could hurt him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's why he's lower on mine, because I have Chris Godwin pretty high up there. I have him in the late teens. And then I have Evans. I think my wide receiver 8, I don't have it pulled up right now. And then OJ Howard, obviously, is my tight end too. I love OJ Howard. I think he's a dominant talent. Everyone loves Chris Godwin, right? Because Adam Humphries and DeSean Jackson is leaving, and that's like 170 targets leaving. Chris Godwin's not getting 170 targets. Like, I really like him, but he's not getting 170 targets. And I think Mike Evans pretty much has his role already carved out. Those targets, I think, will go to O.J. Howard. Winston loves his tight ends, like just loves them. And you know who doesn't is Fitzpatrick. He loves using his wide receivers. So I think that could have hurt him last year as well. And O.J. Howard still killed it when he was playing. I mean, he just needs to stay healthy, which is a, I mean, that is a concern. If he gets hurt again, I think I will have to jump off this O.J. Howard extreme hype train. But I'm going to trust him for one more season, see if he can do a full 16 games. And if he can, I think he's going to be just a dominant force in this league.
I like the rankings that you have at tight end. I think that, you know, you have the top guys at the top, and it could shake out like that with Kelce, then Kittle. I think Howard's in a fine place. Ertz, I don't have a problem with it. The only thing is, I don't think I'll ever have Evan Engram above Eric Ebron in my life. And it just comes from bias, because Evan Engram, because of what he's done and not done and what Eric Ebron has turned into. And I get the, you know, the offensive changes and all that. And I'm just not worried about Jack Doyle or anything either. I just,
you're not on Eric the Mo Alley Cox hype train.
I love Eric Ebron. So like, but I don't think that he's low in total, like where you have him in like the top eight like that. But
like Eric Ebron didn't even see that many targets, honestly. And he was like the only guy left there for many games that he was. I mean, there was T.Y. Hilton, and then he was even hurt. And then besides T.Y. Hilton, who else was there? And he still didn't get that many targets. And it was just the touchdowns. Like, just you think he's gonna, you think he's gonna score all those touchdowns again?
Touchdown dependency scares me.
Touchdown dependency is always scary, but I don't think that the fact that he only caught he caught those touchdowns because, like you said, there was nobody else really to catch touchdowns. But I think that he has become like a wide receiver for that team. I know they have other weapons there, and that's a great argument. And I've heard that before. Like, you know, he's never going to replicate what he did last year. But I do think that he's going to hold where he was last year in total PPR points. Because he's able to, and it's kind of like, I mean, he's a good pass catcher, but they really only leaned on him in the red zone.
Absolutely. And that's a big reason why you should like Evan Engram more, because he is used so much when OBJ is out, right? Like, so much when OBJ missed most of 2017, Evan Engram had 115 targets as a rookie. Like, that's insane for a tight end rookie. And then OBJ gets hurt at the end of last season. Evan Engram was like not doing great up until then. As soon as he goes out, he has 66 yards, 77 yards, 75 yards, 87 yards, 81 yards. Those are all consecutive games as soon as Odell Beckham is hurt.
And I think it comes from Evan Engram. I drafted him in so many places as a rookie, and I don't want to wait 35 years for Evan Engram to become George Kittle.
He was a tight end one his rookie year.
Yeah, and then what do you want out of a rookie tight end?
I mean, he was the tight end one.
I think that's the most what more could he do? I think he's the most overrated tight end.
You've got to be kidding me. He was a tight end one his rookie year.
Okay, don't draft T.J. Hockenson then, because I'm telling you, he's not going to be top five, so you might be upset.
I'm not drafting any rookie tight ends.
You're going to get screwed with Eric Ebron. I'm sorry.
You're going to get screwed with Evan Engram. All you guys.
Evan Engram is going to be a top five tight end easy.
He's not going to be a top five.
Dude, look at his splits. That's what he is without Odell Beckham Jr.
He's not going to be overall. We can argue about this all day. He's not going to be a top five tight end.
Look at his splits. Look at his splits without Odell Beckham Jr. Throughout his career. He's a tight end one.
We've looked at splits before. He's not going to be a tight end five.
It's like 20 games. It's not a small sample.
No, it is. He's not going to be tight end five.
All right, I'm just done. All right.
I was going to say.
Kate, you are done.
Kate, so, and I love this call too, because here's another guy that I really love next year. And he's a guy that you can get at the end of first rounds, beginning of second rounds, and redraft. And for some reason, the same in Dynasty, mostly because people are stupid. But Mike Evans, you got him as your wide receiver one next year.
That's what I was just going to say.
I'm sweating.
It's awesome that you have him as number one. I just got him in a startup that I'm in. I just got him at the 203 in a startup that I was in.
It's ridiculous.
I got him at the end of the second round. The disrespect
That's insane.
Maddening. So my like I said, I projected Jameis Winston out for how many pass attempts? 550. And I do think that he's going to see, you know, everybody's on the Bruce Arians uses only his wide receivers hype trains. I put him at 160 targets, a catch rate of only 56%. So I'm giving this dude some wiggle room because
Baker, sorry.
That's our dog.
Not he's, a problem.
He is pissed that Mike Evans is number one.
Yeah, he really seems angry.
Oh my God, he's super angry. I gave him a catch percentage of only 56% because I know Jameis Winston. And mm-hmm. Bruce Arians is pretty good, but I don't think he's going to necessarily coach out all of those Jameis Winston-isms. 16 yards per reception. I have him at 311 points in a PPR format. The biggest like liberal point that I made for him was in the touchdown category. I gave him 11 touchdowns. But in a pass heavy offense, I think that's easily attainable. If he has consistent mm-hmm. quarterback play, he played ping pong all of last year between Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzmagic.
Yeah. And that's not easy. And they also just don't have a running back really that's dominant. So if you can't trust one of those guys in the near the goal line, they might just throw to Mike Evans, or that's what we're hoping anyways,
which would be a really good idea. Him or Howard. I mean, really just, they're just both monsters.
There's enough to go around.
Yeah,
there is.
And their defense isn't that improved.
Arians uses his best pass catchers. So I think regardless of position, the best pass catchers are going to get the ball in that offense.
Yeah, I've heard the narrative about Bruce Arians not using his tight ends before. He's had one half-decent tight end his entire coaching career when he had Heath Miller. And he made Heath Miller a tight end one. So I'm not
worried. I went through his tight ends, and they're just like the most like barfing tight ends. Like, what? He's a good coach. He's not going to just throw to a tight end because
I wouldn't use him either.
Yeah, that's what good coaches do. They use their best options. Exactly. So they don't have a good option. And Heath Miller was not anything. We're huge Steelers fans. He was a really good NFL tight end, but he wasn't like this athletic dude that could just go deep and catch these crazy balls.
Yeah, it's funny. Mike Evans is my favorite player anyway, so I loved seeing that Kate had him at number one. You know, for both of your guys' rankings.
Wait, let me ask a question, Michael.
What?
So if someone were to offer you 4 first-round draft picks for Mike Evans, would you trade him?
If you're talking about our 16-team listener league, you don't have four first rounds. And no, I wouldn't trade him.
I have 5 over the next 2 years.
But I wouldn't trade him, no. I'd rather have Mike Evans. But you guys actually both have Christian McCaffrey as your number one running back.
I love that, by the way. That's my guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Jeremy loves Christian McCaffrey. And especially in Dynasty, I mean, every draft that we're in, everybody takes Saquon Barkley as their number one pick. But both of you guys have Christian over him. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's in the better offense. I mean, I love Saquon Barkley, but I think Christian McCaffrey's in the better offense. I'm not worried about Cam Newton's shoulder. And Christian McCaffrey is just a beast. I swear he gets thrown to in every play. I don't know if you can watch a play where he doesn't get thrown to. And you saw at the end of last year, like the whole second half of last year, Saquon Barkley's targets went way, 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 way down, like shockingly, like split in half. And if you watch the New York Giants game, you almost saw why. Like the coach was getting so mad at Eli Manning every single time he threw to Saquon Barkley. It wasn't working. They were 1-7. They couldn't move the ball because the teams just knew, okay, this is going 5 yards to Saquon Barkley. And I think that really helped him last year in fantasy. If those numbers go down, if those targets go down, which I assume they will, I just think Christian McCaffrey can pass him this year. I don't see CMC's targets going down that much.
No way. He's on the field at one point last season, 95% of the snaps. And I think maybe at the end of the season, it was 91 or 92%, certainly over 90% of the snaps. And that's the greatest indicator of running back success is the number of snaps on the field. I mean, that speaks to success, and he's good, and he's in the passing game. He's a wide receiver, too, in running back points. In PPR catches, he was basically a wide receiver too, a low-end wide receiver too at worst. And I like that you have Zeke in your top three, Luck, Mahomes, Watson, Rodgers, and Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, those top quarterbacks. Cousins, you have higher than a lot of people. I like that. Travis Kelce and George Kittle and Ertz as your top three tight ends. I like that. And I might like some of your rankings other than the top wide receivers better than my own. but I definitely like that you have Juju at 4 and Julio still, both of you in your top three. And Michelle has him as her overall number one, which is, I think,
yeah, I do.
Not bad at all. Yeah, good job, you guys. So I don't care what they're saying about your rankings. I like them better than mine.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only problem with the rankings is the Wentz hate. But when they said they're from Pittsburgh, I realized.
Okay, we do not hate Philadelphia. There's no rivalry here. Like, I don't care if the Eagles do good or not.
No,
and I don't hate Pittsburgh because I have a lot of family from Pennsylvania. Like, my mom's entire side of her family is from Pennsylvania. But I do really hate the Steelers. Although it's a hate because they've kicked the crap out of my team for so long. But yeah, like you said earlier on the show, that's definitely trending the other direction.
Oh, finally, so you're a Browns fan. Years.
Yes,
yeah, my
he's
entire
a Browns
life, which is just, I mean, unbelievably hard to do for so long.
We're actually massive Browns fans as well. We lived there for 3 years before really? Moving to Pittsburgh. And yeah. As you just heard me yell, our new puppy's name is named Baker. So yeah, yeah, we're big Browns fans.
Oh, that's awesome.
Baker. Yeah, Baker.
I love your dog's name.
Baker's my quarterback one. I don't know if he's my puppy number one because I don't have any puppies.
He's
but...
not my puppy.
Is
number
he
one
your
either.
Dynasty quarterback one or yeah. your?
He
redraft?
Is. No, he's dynasty. His dynasty okay. number one.
Yeah.
And why over Watson? I'm interested to hear.
Over Watson?
Yeah.
I think he's got a better offense than what do you call those people? Houston. I like Fuller and I like Kuti. I like them both, but Kuti's got a history of hamstring issues that typically don't just go away. And Fuller, I don't want to say he's injury prone. He's just injured every season.
Well, I don't want to go back to like repeating what they said earlier, but they were right. Even with all the problems that Houston had, and there were many, and we don't need to get into every single one, Watson still finished huge.
Yeah, okay.
and injured. So did
Baker finish huge.
Yeah, no, and I love Baker Mayfield, but there's the Watson thing. You remember you were mad at us for taking Wentz, and we got Watson and Goff, and you've never forgiven us.
No,
for,
because Goff is not half the quarterback that Wentz is, but that's
well,
that's
fantasy points
point.
Maybe no, speak false. Speak a little differently.
False. We'll see.
Skill-wise, I totally agree with you, but a lot of people do get that confused. It doesn't mean we're saying they're better quarterbacks. It means we're saying we'd rather own them in fantasy. Like Josh Allen isn't a great quarterback in general, but you know what? I want him in all yeah. of my fantasy yeah. leagues next year because those legs are beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I say that a lot on the show, not about the legs being beautiful, but to me, it's all about the fantasy points, not about the real world football.
About. I don't give a about the real world.
Well,
look, I'll tell you right now, I'd rather win a fantasy championship than the Eagles win a Super Bowl.
Well,
because the Eagles aren't cutting me in on that win.
Yeah, but you
I
also
know, not me.
That's blasphemy.
Pittsburgh Steelers all day. I'll win the Super. I want the Steelers to win the Super.
I mean, you guys.
I want the Super Bowl too. For my team. So.
No way. I want. I agree with Shane. I want my fantasy than the Dolphins. You know,
like I said, I went to the Eagles parade. I didn't get a ring. I didn't get a player share. Nothing.
But that night that they won, was that not just an amazing feeling?
Come it on. Was.
I asked all the telephone poles and light posts in Philly, right, Shane?
That was actually the champion. That was the NFC championship.
Oh my God.
So suck it.
You know, but one of my best friends is a Steelers fan too. So everything he talks about, I realized you guys kind of did it on your show this week. You guys are not big fans of the Ravens, correct?
No, we're not.
I hate them too.
It's definitely my most hated team. I am happy Flacco's gone now because I couldn't stand looking at his face. I just hated him. I hated him so much.
You should have stuck to skateboarding then.
That was one of the best parts of listening to your show is hearing you like kind of crap all over the Ravens whenever you were talking about the players.
I like you guys more and more all the time. I hate that team.
The issue with the Ravens, and I think it's going to be a bigger issue this season, like last year they, you know, when Lamar Jackson came into the game, they were able to do that like ground and pound sort of football with the defense, but there's been a lot of shifts in that defense, and I don't think it's going to look I don't think it's a demolished defense, but I think it's going to look a little bit different, and I think they're going to have to either develop Lamar Jackson as a passer or they need to figure something else out.
Yeah, it's not going to be dominant. They showed their weaknesses last year. They weren't able to just, you know, smash mouth teams anymore. I think you're right there. And I hopefully he develops. That'll be good for fantasy football. But in a way, because I hate the Ravens, I hope he never develops. I hope that team suffers.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
His passing is just really bad.
Man, they didn't let him throw the ball. I mean, everything they've done. everything they've done in the offseason, though, from signing Mark Ingram to drafting Miles Boykin, Marquise Brown, and Justice Hill, indicates, like, even the running backs that they've brought onto the team are running backs that can receive, that they're going, they know they need to pass, because, you know, we saw what the Chargers did to them. They just completely shut them down, so that they're aware. Hopefully they can make it happen. I'm a little concerned. I just, because I, you know, I love Lamar Miller.
Yeah,
not Jackson. Lamar Miller. And I think he's a very good quarterback. And hopefully he's not running the ball 20 times a game, because he won't last two more seasons in the NFL if he continues to do that. Because he's not built like, you know, beautiful-legged Josh Allen.
Well, both Kate and Michelle disagree with you about loving Lamar Jackson. They both have him at 21 on their rankings.
Yeah, in redraft, I wouldn't touch him before probably the last round. So
that's a dynasty guy.
But you truly believe that he's a good quarterback?
Yes. You don't watch college, because I don't know if you're...
I watched him in college. I don't know that he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. He's no Carson Wentz. I have him ranked just behind Wentz.
Just behind Wentz? That's great.
Can his rushing yards per game get any better than last year? And he really wasn't that dominant of a force when you played him last year.
He's going to get hurt, man.
Because he turned over the ball 100 times a game. I swear you have to try to fumble as many times as he did in seven games.
He's got little baby hands.
Two fumbles per game. He started seven games, and you average almost two fumbles per game. That's
holy crap.
A huge problem. And
that one on the goal line was beautiful. I celebrate that every week.
It's just like, it's not, you got to learn how to protect the football, because it's not like he's interception free either. You got to hold on to the ball. And if you don't, that's a big hit for your fantasy production.
Even Michael Vick, so we've seen with a lot of running quarterbacks, when you use them as a running back, they're going to fumble a lot. So, and yeah, he might throw an interception here and there. But if he's not running the ball 20 times a game, I think he's a lot less apt to fumble it two times a game.
I mean, it's super flex.
If you just like two interceptions per game.
Yeah. I'll give him one.
He'll probably have more interceptions than fumbles if they start letting him pass. He's a guy I want in best ball for sure, and he's a player that I don't mind having, you know, in dynasty in a super flex league. But my God, if it's a one quarterback league, I'm not even looking his direction. I just, there's no way. It's just not. I like what you have him ranked.
Well, no, and like I said, I wouldn't, you know, in redraft, there's not a chance in the world that he's a guy that I'm drafting. There's no reason to. Not as deep as the quarterback position is right now in start one quarterback leagues in redraft. There's no reason to go, all right, let me shoot for the moon, you know.
And just
right
because
here.
They drafted a bunch of these guys, it takes time to develop with them. I mean, I wouldn't just assume that all of a sudden he has these pass catchers and he's just, you know, hitting them in stride. Like, it's going to take some time. So maybe if you trust his talent, dynasty, but redrafts, yeah, stay away.
Yeah, no. No.
Well, you know, you said you do mostly talk about redraft. Are there any rookies this year that you guys like in your redraft rankings that some people should be looking at?
So I believe I have both Monty and Miles Sanders a little high. I have, where's Miles Sanders at? I have Miles Sanders at 17, I believe. Is that where you're seeing him at? I've changed mine a little bit. I've adjusted them. So that's why I'm just wondering what you have on your side.
Yeah, you have him at 16 on this chart.
Okay.
Yeah, Miles Sanders, 16.
I trust, which is crazy, that the Philadelphia Eagles will do the right thing. Woo! And get him touches. I don't think so. They have to keep doing this whole running back by committee, but it's because they have a bunch of just terrible running backs. I mean,
right. They don't have to do it anymore, right?
Yeah, they have to just keep trying it out. And I think Miles Sanders is a really great talent. I think he can catch the ball as well, too. So why not just have him be your three down back? And I think he'll be dominant. I actually do. I really like him this year. He'll be one of the guys for rookies that I'll be targeting.
And I love David Montgomery. I think, you know, even if you slotted him in for a workload similar to Jordan Howard's, you're still getting a very productive running back, and he's on a good offense with a good coach, you know, a rushing quarterback. And I hope he does keep it up, because, you know, towards the tail end of last season, we did see Mitch Trubisky rush a little less. And I don't know if maybe that was the shoulder injury, but, you know, if he's going to continue to run the ball. That's going to open up lanes for, you know, David Montgomery. And then they've already said Tariq Cohen might see less carries and he might be utilized more as more and more as a receiver. So that opens up all of these lanes for David Montgomery. I think the opportunity is huge. And that's such a big thing that you need to look at for these rookie running backs.
I think that's a great point, what you said. First of all, I have Montgomery and Sanders. I like them both better than Josh Jacobs. I don't want to get into all that, but I think Josh Jacobs was really overrated this year. He might turn out to be great and be the Raiders starter and all that, but I just didn't buy in. Montgomery was an amazing college running back. I think he's going to do fine in that offense. I mean, they're definitely going to use Tariq Cohen more in the passing game because, like, it was almost 20% of the time last year he was utilized out of the slot. And I think they'll continue to do that, especially when they have that option with Montgomery. But Sanders, too, even if he starts out as just the third down back, because Howard's really not that good at that kind of thing. So let's just say he starts out being the third down back. He's in an opportune spot, first of all, as being the handcuff for Jordan Howard, but already being used in the game is the kind of handcuff you want. You don't want a guy that's just, like, you know, coming out of nowhere. Miles Sanders and David Montgomery are two of the best talents at running back in this. I think it's cool because I just noticed you have them both ranked highly. Both of you have them ranked highly and both above Josh Jacobs. So we're going to have you on the show every week. Shane, can you, we're going to probably take a 10-minute segment without you and have Kate and Michelle on. I'm just playing, but you guys did a good job.
No, I agree with that. I think that would be great. So before we wrap up, Shane, Jeremy, did you have anything else you'd like to ask?
Probably a million questions, man, but I think we've been talking forever.
So then, Kate and Michelle, do you guys have anything you want to say before we wrap everything up?
Why don't you plug something? There you go.
Yeah, anything you want.
So for anybody who hasn't seen our rankings, I think you should check them out and blast our balls because we are the Ball Blast Girls. That is literally what we do. You can blast our balls and we'll blast them back because we're obviously right. Check out our podcast. We're available. We are Ball Blast, a fantasy football podcast. iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, literally wherever you get your podcast. And if we're not available on your platform, you can at us and rip us a new one, blast our balls, and we'll get it on there.
There's so many platforms out there. Good God. I don't even know.
I got to tell you.
I'm going to be on them all, I promise.
I got to tell you. Good for you. The cleanest one that I've found, iTunes is awesome because that's where, you know, all the ratings and reviews come from. So that's what drives, I guess, the downloads or helps them at least. Right. But the Google podcast app is really clean and it gets just about there's not a show I can't find on there. And you girls,
I've actually never done, despite us being on their platform, I've never downloaded it. So I should probably get on that.
Yeah,
that's doing it right now. Yeah. This is the first time I've ever taken your advice, Shane. I really appreciate you.
You don't listen to your fantasy rankings, but
look, I don't. I can't stand rankings. I hate rankings, especially
Thanks
in
Thanks for having us on.
Well, absolutely. Hey, and you know, maybe in the future we'll get you guys back on here, and then you guys can debate maybe after Wentz's numbers for this year. So, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Have a great night.
Yeah, we'll see you out there, guys. Take care. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so that was fun. You know, especially
these guys
with
are really good on this show.
Yeah, and especially, you know, talking about redraft, you know, we don't really talk too much about redraft, so it was a lot of fun. Shane, before we wrap everything up, you did want to mention the patrons, right?
I did, because if you're not a patron, basically what you're saying to the three of us is that you hope our show isn't successful and you don't want us to continue doing it.
Oh my God.
I mean, look, I might read into things. I'm a little neurotic and that's what I do.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you're not a patron, you're missing out, man. I mean, you get this uncensored version of this show, which is great. Then more importantly, you get the bonus podcast, which is always great and always fun and always informative. And then obviously you get the group me chat, which is it's a blast. We just talk about trades all day, you know, all night, and some draft strategy since it's, you know, still startup season. And then the written content. I know I've been a little light on written content right lately. I've just been kind of sharing some of the stuff that I'm working on the redraft guide, though, with some of the patrons, and they've all been digging that. So if you're not a patron, you should go become one right now. That's how you support the show. first you go on iTunes, you give us a rating and review, then you hit us up on the Patreon, and we got a few different tiers there, whichever one you're more comfortable with, you know, just sign up and you'll never want to leave us.
I'll tell you something else. You definitely want to be a patron just to get involved with all the dialogue that I can't keep up with every day. But another thing I wanted to point out to everyone is our store on storeenvy.com, dthq.storeenvy.com. All kinds of great gear you can get. Shane's wearing a sweet embroidered hat right now. I have a t-shirt on. Mike has a three-quarter sleeve, I guess it is, baseball-type shirt.
I love that
shirt. There's all kinds of stuff out. Also, in about a week, we're going to kick off a 10% off sale through the 4th of July. So get out there and buy something. Hit us up on our Twitter site. Hit us up on our Twitter handle. And if you need more information, but we'll make sure we get that in your hands so you can shop on our store and get something cool for the HQ.
Absolutely. And check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. And also check us out on iTunes. Give us a rate and review. We all know how much Shane really loves that. And we're getting ready. Oh, my God. Also, I really wish people could see your face. That's so funny.
Our website's going behind a paywall coming the 15th.
Oh.
June 15th. So, you're going to have to sign up for that, folks, for some of the best writing in all of fantasy. You're going to have to go, you know, become a subscriber. You'll see the prices. They're really reasonable, really worth it. We got a couple other things we're working on just to bring you some value as a, you know, as a subscriber. It's not just going to be written content. We got some video stuff we're working on, some community chats, some game day stuff. So it's definitely going to be worth it.
Absolutely. So thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you again next week.
Yep, see you next week.
Deuces.